We want the hits. Forget.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Mario Ritter Jr., Brian Lynn, and Jill Robbins. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Mario Ritter Jr.
Officials in southern and eastern Africa are working to vaccinate 9 million children against polio after a confirmed outbreak in Malawi. The emergency campaign began in that country this week. Vaccines are being given by mouth to children everywhere in the country. The United Nations Children's Agency, UNICEF, says the larger goal is to expand the vaccination campaign into neighboring Mozambique, Tanzania, and Zambia. UNICEF is working with the governments of those countries and other partners in the area. Agency officials said there will be 3 more rounds of vaccinations in the coming months. The goal is to vaccinate more than 20 million children. Mohamed Fall is UNICEF Regional Director for Eastern and Southern Africa. He said, "This is the first case of wild polio detected in Africa for more than 5 years, and UNICEF is working closely with governments and partners to do everything possible to stop the virus in its tracks." UNICEF, the World Health Organization, the Global Polio Eradication Initiative, and other partners are supporting the vaccination campaign. It began after doctors confirmed in February that wild polio virus had infected and paralyzed a 3-year-old in Malawi's capital, Lilongwe. Fall warned polio spreads fast and can kill or cause permanent paralysis. People most commonly contract polio when they drink dirty water. The virus can be carried in human waste. Children under the age of 5 and those living in areas with poor sanitation are most at risk. Fall considers the shared effort by neighboring countries as critical, noting there is no cure for polio, but the vaccine protects children for life. "We are working," he added, "to make sure parents, as well as community and religious leaders, know how important it is that every child receives their vaccine." UNICEF has more than 36 million treatments of the polio vaccine for the first 2 rounds of immunizations in Malawi, Mozambique, Tanzania, and Zambia. In Malawi, UNICEF is providing 270 new vaccine refrigerators and is repairing others. The agency is also supplying temperature measurement devices, vaccine carriers, and cold storage containers. In partnership with the World Health Organization, UNICEF has trained 13,500 health workers and volunteers, 34 area health officers, and 50 religious leaders. In Mozambique, the Children's Agency is helping supply vaccines to local stores. It also assists in training programs about vaccine use for thousands of supervisors, health workers, and media providers. UNICEF is deploying similar efforts in Tanzania and Zambia. I'm Mario Ritter, Jr.
Scientists in Peru have discovered the skull of an ancestor of modern-day whales. The fossilized skull is believed to be about 36 million years old. Researchers say the discovery suggests that the animal lived in an ocean that once covered Peru's southern Ocucahe Desert. The scientists reported the skull was in good condition when dug up last year. It has a series of long, pointy teeth, said Rodolfo Salas, chief of paleontology at Peru's National University of San Marcos. Salas spoke to reporters about the discovery. Scientists say the ancient mammal was a Bacillosaurus, which belongs to the cetacean family. This is the same family that includes modern water creatures like whales, dolphins, and porpoises. The name Bacillosaurus means king lizard, and the animal is thought to have been about 12 meters long. But it was not a reptile, although its long body might have moved like a large snake, the researchers said. Salas called the animal a marine monster that may belong to a new species of Bacillosaurus. When it was searching for its food, it surely did a lot of damage, he added. The skull is already being shown at the university's museum. Scientists believe the first cetaceans evolved from mammals that lived on land about 55 million years ago. Salas explained that when the ancient Bacillosaurus died out, its skull likely sank to the bottom of the ocean, where it was quickly buried and remained. Back during this age, the conditions for fossilization were very good in Ocucahe, Salas said. I'm Brian Lynn.
In his speech to the United States Congress, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky asked for help. His message was short and clear. We need you right now. In recent weeks, Zelensky spoke to world leaders in one country after another, by video link. His speeches are excellent examples of persuasive speaking. The persuasive speech is one common exercise that teachers give to students in communication or speech classes. Let us look at what makes an effective persuasive speech. First, you should choose a topic you know something about or have researched well to prepare for your speech. Make sure it is a subject about which people have different opinions. It would not be logical to speak about a fact recognized by everybody. It is also best to choose a subject your listeners care about or can act on. Do you see people in your town littering? You can expect that they care about how the town appears, or that they can change their actions. So, giving a speech about why littering harms your town's appearance might persuade people who do it to stop. You should consider your listeners as you plan your speech. What do they value? President Zelensky spoke about protecting democracy to everyone. But he changed his speech to world leaders a little, depending on the history of each country. For the United States, he compared the Russian invasion with the attack on Pearl Harbor and the September 11th attack. Both these events were important turning points in U.S. history. In his speech to the leaders of Israel, he spoke of the Holocaust and how Ukrainians helped to save Jews during World War II. Thinking of the things your listeners value will help you form arguments in your speech. If you want them to stop eating unhealthy foods, for example, you may appeal to the value of their appearance. You will talk about how healthy foods result in good-looking skin and an attractive body. There are three common ways to persuade people of your way of thinking. We use Greek words to describe them because the ancient Greeks developed and appealed to these ideas. They are ethos, appeal to the listener's ethics or morals; pathos, appeal to the listener's emotions; and logos, appeal to the listener's logic or intelligence. Again, President Zelensky's speeches are excellent examples of how to use these three ideas to persuade listeners to act. Representing ethos, in speaking to the German leaders, he said some German businesses had put more importance on economic gain than on morality. In an appeal to pathos, Zelensky played a video showing injured Ukrainian children to the U.S. Congress to appeal to our emotions. And in his speech to the British Parliament in London, he made an appeal to logos. He said that, like the British in World War II, Ukrainians will never stop fighting, and so they need Britain's help to continue. He used words similar to former British Prime Minister Winston Churchill's famous words, "We shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, we shall fight in the fields and in the streets." The English translation of Zelensky's words is, "We will fight in the forests, in the fields, on the shores, in the streets." After you plan the subject, appeal to your listeners, and the arguments you will use, you should make an outline of your speech. Start with an attention-getting statement. Then explain your main idea and give evidence to support your argument. List the points you want to make and think of how to answer arguments against your position. finish with a call to action. What do you want your listeners to do? Finally, practice at home until you need only a note card with your main points on it when you give the speech. Do not plan to read the speech word for word from a paper. For more tips on how to give a speech, see our series on public speaking. I'm Jill Robbins.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember.
I want to say to you that for the next 4 years, there'll be a Democrat in the White House and you're looking at him.
Presidential elections are exciting events in American politics. Few elections for the White House have been as exciting as the one in 1948. And few have had such surprising results.
This is NBC Television.
We have obtained the results from the state of Ohio, which assures victory for President Truman and Senator Barkley. With Ohio's 25 electoral votes, President Truman and Senator Barkley will have a total of 266 votes in the Electoral College. This is the minimum figure necessary for victory.
Four candidates were nominated for president in the 1948 election. One was the man already in the White House, the candidate of the Democratic Party, President Harry S. Truman. Truman had been the party's vice presidential candidate with Franklin Roosevelt in 1944. When Roosevelt died a year later, Truman became president. He was the one who made the decision to drop atomic bombs on Japan to end World War II. But Truman did not do well during his first few months in office. He made several serious mistakes. He had trouble with the economy and organized labor. His party lost control of the Senate and the House of Representatives in the congressional elections of 1946. Most Americans had little faith in Truman's ability as a leader. They expected that he would lose the presidential election in 1948 if he chose to be a candidate. President Truman did choose to run. He took several strong steps to show his leadership in the months following the Democratic defeat in the congressional elections. Truman called on Congress to pass a number of laws to help black people. He took firm actions in his foreign policy toward the Soviet Union. These included the Marshall Plan and the Berlin Airlift, as we discussed in our last two programs. And he began to speak out with much more strength to the American people. Truman succeeded in winning the presidential nomination of the Democratic Party. He chose Alban Barkley, a senator from Alabama, for vice president. Senator Barkley and I will win this election and make these Republicans like it. Don't you forget that, Truman declared in accepting the nomination. The Republicans nominated New York State Governor Thomas Dewey. Dewey was a wise and courageous man. He was also very serious. Truman campaigned by telling the voters that Dewey did not understand the needs of the average American. He called Dewey a candidate of rich people. One day, Dewey got angry at a railroad engineer because his campaign train was late for a speech. Truman said this proved that Dewey did not understand the problems of railroad engineers and other working Americans. He tried to make the election a choice between hard-working Democrats and rich Republicans. Two other men also were candidates for the presidency. Both were from newly created parties. One was Strom Thurmond from South Carolina. He was a candidate of the States Rights Democratic Party, also known as the Dixiecrat Party. Most of his supporters were white people from the southeastern part of the country. They opposed giving full rights to black people. The other candidate was Henry Wallace of the Progressive Party. His supporters believed that Truman had turned away from the progressive ideas of Franklin Roosevelt. Both Thurmond and Wallace had broken away from the Democratic Party. Most political experts believed these two candidates would take votes away from President Truman. They believed the Republican Dewey would surely win the election. President Truman did not have strong public support. But Harry Truman was a fighter. He did not believe the election was lost. He took his campaign to the American people.
On election day, the president, the Congress, the governor, the mayor, all cease as the government. You are the government, because then you decide what sort of a government you want. And when you do like you did in 1946, when two-thirds of you stayed home, you get just what you deserve. You got that good-for-nothing 80th Congress.
He said he had always campaigned by going around, meeting, and talking to people. Running for president was no different, he said. He just got on a train and started across the country to tell people what was going on. He wanted to talk to them face to face. When you stand there in front of them and talk to them, he said, the people can tell whether you are telling them the facts or not.
If you give the Republicans complete control of this government, you might just as well turn it over to the special interests, and we'll start on a boom and bust cycle and try to go through just what we did in the 20s and end up with a crash, which in the long run will do nobody any good but the communists.
Truman campaigned with great energy. He made hundreds of speeches as his train crossed the country. It became known as the Whistle Stop Campaign because it stopped at some of the smallest towns and villages in the country. Truman gave speeches from the back of his campaign train, the Ferdinand Magellan. He spoke to farmers in Iowa. He visited a children's home in Texas. And he discussed issues with small groups of people who came to visit his train when it stopped in rural areas of Montana and Idaho. Dewey and the Republicans laughed at Truman's campaign. They said it showed that Truman needed votes so badly that he had to spend his time looking for them in small villages. Truman said the criticism proved that Republicans did not care for the average American. Dewey also campaigned across the country by train, but he showed little of the fire and emotion in his speeches that made Truman's campaign so exciting. Dewey's speeches were safe. One reporter wrote that Dewey was acting like a man who had already been elected and was only passing time waiting to take office. Dewey had good reasons to feel so sure of being elected. Almost every political expert in the country said Truman had no chance of winning. The Wall Street Journal, for example, printed a story about what Dewey would do in the White House after the election. And the New York Times said that Dewey would win the election by a large majority. Truman refused to accept those views. Instead, he spoke with more and more emotion against Dewey. Most Americans still believed that Truman would lose, but they liked his courage in fighting until the end. One supporter shouted, "Give 'em hell, Harry," them being the Republicans. Soon, supporters across the country were shouting, "Give 'em hell, Harry." Truman made special appeals to working people, Jews, blacks, Catholics, and other traditional supporters of the Democratic Party. In his final radio speech before the election, he promised to work for peace and a government that would help all people. Then he went to his home in the state of Missouri to wait with the rest of the country for the election results. Republicans across the country greeted Election Day happily. They were sure that this was the day that the people would choose to send a Republican back to the White House after 16 years. Some of the early voting results from the northeastern states showed Truman winning. But few Republicans worried. They were sure Dewey would be the winner when all the votes were counted. The Chicago Tribune was also sure who the next president would be, declaring in a huge headline, "Dewey defeats Truman." But the newspaper was wrong. Everyone was wrong. Everyone, that is, except Harry Truman and the Americans who gave him their votes. Truman went to bed on election night before all the votes were counted. He told his assistant that he would win. He awoke early the next morning to learn that he was right. Not only did he defeat Dewey, as he thought he would, but he won by a good number of votes. And he helped many Democratic congressional candidates win as well. The Democrats captured both houses of Congress. After the results were announced, as heard in this old recording, Truman showed his sense of humor by joking about the predictions of his defeat.
I had on the National Broadcasting Company, Kelton Barn was saying, "While the president is a million votes ahead in the popular vote, we have yet to hear from him." Very sure that when the country vote comes in, Mr. Truman will be defeated by an overwhelming majority. And I went back to bed and went to sleep.
Harry Truman would make many difficult decisions as America moved into the second half of the 20th century. Truman would send American troops to help the United Nations defend South Korea against aggression from the North. He would join other Western leaders in establishing a new alliance, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. They established NATO to provide for the joint defense of Europe and North America. Truman and later presidents would make decisions to send large amounts of economic and military aid to countries around the world. Many of these decisions were necessary because of America's new responsibilities after World War II as leader of the Western world.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.